We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, a finger on the pulse, Darren Bresnitz. Sitting in with us again this week is the illustrious, freshly haircutted Travis Hayden. Travis, welcome back to Snacky Tunes.
It's good to be back. Third week in a row.
Wow. Filling in. It's great. That was just Alcoholic Faith Mission all the way from Denmark, who's going to be coming in live later. They will not be sitting in the studio because there are six of them and there's not enough room for them and pizza. Also want to give a shout out to Swedish muse extraordinaire, Jenny Mortzel. Jenny, welcome.
Hey.
One of the best food illustrators, among other things, in the game. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Very excited to be here.
Yes, very excited. And also shout out to Joe, who's at home listening, and to Greg, who will be back. I don't know if we're doing a show next week, but he'll be back for the next one. And final shout out to the Flyers. Way to decimate the Penguins.
No shout out to the Rangers.
Not yet. We'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll see what happens tonight. It could be a big upset. And that is the most we've ever talked about sports here on Snacky Tunes. But let's get to the show. We have the wonderful, ever smiling, somehow extremely skinny for all she eats, Diane Chang, sitting in the studio. Diane, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi, everyone.
How's it going?
Good. It's a little cloudy, but otherwise.
First, let's say don't be nervous.
Okay.
We're just getting there. Just get real close to the mic and get in here. So, Diane, you are an American-born Chinese-Taiwanese.
Yes.
First generation?
First generation, yep. And I had to make that very clear. It's Chinese-Taiwanese. It's both. So they're very different. So.
What are the differences? Let's go for it from a food angle.
Yeah. Differences. Well, I mean, China is much bigger. Taiwan, much smaller.
True.
Taiwanese food is very different from Chinese food in that there's indigenous Taiwanese food, and then there's Taiwanese food that comes from, you know, China expats during the Cultural Revolution. Right. So that's the difference. That's the major difference.
What is the, and I know this, and we can get into this, but, you know, there's Americanized Chinese food and then real Chinese food.
Yeah.
Are there any places in New York where you can get real Chinese food?
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of places, I think.
That doesn't have the secret menu.
Well, I mean, I think every restaurant that you find in Chinatown or even in Queens Chinatown, Sunset Park Chinatown, Manhattan Chinatown, all of them play on authentic,
right,
in quotation, Chinese food.
Yeah, people can't see the air quotes at home.
Okay, air quote, trying to relay that on the radio. But yeah, I think they all serve, you know, to some extent, very authentic cooking, but it's just, you know, whether or not the ingredients are good. And I think Americanized Chinese food, I think of mostly like, you know, Chinese, or that really sweet chicken that's been breaded and,
right,
you know,
sweet and sour pork.
Sweet and sour pork, General Tso's chicken. Yeah. I know there's been a lot of research on that and how that wasn't really ever even invented in China. And, but I think that, you know, you can get great Chinese food everywhere, but the best is definitely in California.
Really?
Now is that because you're from there?
Totally.
Okay.
That's the same reason why I think the best Mexican food in the U.S. is in California.
Well, that's fair.
That is a certain type of Mexican food.
Yeah, no, certain type.
I'm from California, too, and when I moved to New York, I was like, New York, there's no tacos here. If they're the ones I've had, taste awful. Except for that tortilla factory in Bushwick.
Yes. Oh, Nick's... Yes.
Nick's Mall.
Yeah. Those are some Californian tacos. Look,
okay, I'm going to say this. L.A., when it comes to food versus New York, usually loses, with the exception of some ethnic cuisine.
Agreed.
Okay?
Yep.
We'll put it on the table.
Yep.
But when it comes to Chinese food and Mexican food and things like that, it's better.
I'm probably partial because it's the food that is what I grew up on. And it's, you know, I have that soft spot in my heart for, you know, California, Mexican, California, Chinese.
Right.
But I think a lot of it has to do with the ingredients. I mean, you get wonderful produce year-round, great fish year-round in California.
Yep.
It's accessible to a lot of restaurants. And I think that, you know, for Mexican food, like fresh things, like the toppings and the salsa and good meats.
I'm going to put it out there. I think until Calexico and Dos Toros showed up in New York a few years ago, New York was a pretty, pretty bad state for affordable, good Mexican food.
Right.
You could get the high-end $30
like
place.
Like Rosa Mexicana.
Yeah, which is great. But,
Fonda,
you know, dropping $20 or $30 on a burrito is not great. But for like the taco grab-and-go stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calexico and Dos Toros. Jenny, how do you feel about Calexico?
I'm there like twice every week.
The line's a bit long, but, you know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. So you grew up in San Francisco.
No, Los Angeles.
I'm sorry, Los Angeles.
San Gabriel Valley.
And you, single-parent household?
Yep.
Mother, father?
Mother.
And grandmother?
And grandma. So not really single-parent, I guess. Single-parent, grandparent.
And love for cooking, I'm assuming, coming from the grandma?
Yes.
So she came over, she grew up in, what part of the family is she?
She's on the mom's side. And
I know, but Taiwanese, Chinese?
Taiwanese?
Chinese, okay. Yeah.
So she has a ton of recipes, knowledge, things like that.
I mean, they're not written down or anything, but tons of knowledge.
It's what she grew up cooking.
It's what she grew up cooking. It's just, you know, she grew up in, you know, in Sichuan province, in Chengdu, And at that time, you know, her family was pretty wealthy back in the, you know, 10s and 20s. But this was before the Cultural Revolution, obviously. Right. And it was a very agrarian type of household. So she didn't really go to school. She's right. a girl. So I guess the education she had was really just tending to the household, cooking, right. that kind of thing. So
that's, yeah. But the flavor profiles, the knowledge, just that motor skills of cooking, it's all there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she's also had like over 60 years of practice, and she's 95 now. So
is there a moment when she's cooking in the kitchen where it's just so lucid and so amazing that you're having trouble keeping up because she's just doing things that she's been doing for 60 years?
Definitely. I think it's just when she knows that she needs to add more of some ingredient, like, you know, Szechuan peppercorns, that's such an intense flavor.
Right.
But she knows just how much to add into a dish. Like, if she's braising meat, she's not going to be able to taste what the meat's going to be, you know, post-cooking. Right. But she knows just how much to throw in there. And I'm always amazed because I've tried to braise meat, and, you know, it's something I practice all the time, like a specific dish. And, you know, I have to practice, like, and I have to measure. But for her, it's like she just knows.
And what are the chances of you getting her to write the stuff down, cookbook, anything like that?
Working on it, actually, right now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I actually, a few years ago, when I was at Bon Appetit magazine, I was in the editorial department. I pitched a story about her beef noodle soup and how difficult it is to find really good beef noodle soup anywhere.
Right.
Because it's all about how long the soup is cooked, how well the noodles are made, all the spices that go into it. This is Chinese beef noodle soup, very different from, you know, this other stuff. But yeah, I wrote the story about her. I cooked with her, jotted down her recipe, got a lot of great feedback, and it's been something I've been wanting to pursue, actually collecting all of this knowledge that she has retained over the years but has never written down, never right. told anyone else, and just kind of talk about her story and why, you know, it's so different for her generation of cooks and people, like the way they view food. She's not passionate about cooking.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. She's not passionate about food. That sounds weird.
But no. It's one of those things where my grandmother, Hungarian, is an incredible cook, and it's just part of what she does.
Exactly.
She's just an amazing thing, and it's not about her tweeting about it or making blogs about it or writing articles. She just is an amazing cook.
It's what she knows, and yeah. it's I think for, you know, something I only as an adult have I realized with her, it's her cooking is what brings family together. It's important to her because that's what gets people around the table. She doesn't speak English, so how does she communicate with her grandchildren? She makes their favorite dishes. How does she tell the story of, you know, her background, her upbringing? She does it through food. And I think that's really important and something, you know, I want to remember and I want people to know about.
Just one last question before we move on.
Yeah.
Was there a difference in the food she made before and after the revolution?
I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to taste the food before the revolution.
Right.
But from what I've, you know, from what she's told me, I mean, ingredients are very different, China and Taiwan and the U.S.
Okay.
And also, she was exposed to a diversity of cooking in Taiwan. I mean, she's out there with Chiang Kai-shek with a ton of other Chinese people from all over China. So she's learning beef noodle soup not because that's what she made in Chengdu. It's because someone in the northern part of China was like, I make noodles. You have Szechuan peppercorns. What can we do?
Right.
Fusion. So it's that's why Taiwan is such a great place for food, because it's where you can get really that perfect blend of all Chinese cuisines. And yeah, it's so underrated, but yeah.
So let's go back to your story a little bit. So you grew up in the household, fell in love with cooking.
Yep.
Go to UCLA, right?
Yep.
So you move into LA proper?
Yeah, I moved into LA proper. Westwood.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been to LA 1,000 times. I still can't tell my way around.
It's hard. You got to live there a few. I mean, I grew up 30 minutes east of LA. Didn't even know what LA was until I lived there for 6 years. So.
And it was during that time in LA that you really started to get into your mature palate, if you will, for ethnic food and really exploring the different types of food that exist?
Yes, definitely.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, Westwood, you know, just the, you know, immediate radius of UCLA, you don't really have much because it's college town, but just on the outskirts you have Persian cooking, You have Koreatown, which is not too far away. You have, you know, Little Tokyo, which is downtown. But you also have Sawtelle Boulevard, which is west side of LA, which is great Japanese restaurants. And just even east of that, you have like little spots, Culver City. You know, at that time, it was very underdeveloped. I mean, as in like their hole in the wall Mexican joints. Venice, you have a ton of Mexican restaurants there too, taco trucks. But really, I mean, it's like my first experience was Persian food. Like, that's not, you know, where I grew up, there were not many Persian people. So different.
That's amazing. And did that influence the way that you were cooking? Did you start making your own, like, oh, I like this from Persian culture, oh, I like this from that culture, and make new types of dishes?
Yeah, definitely tried different dishes at home. I mean, I think one thing I might have told you was, when I started cooking, actually cooking in my own kitchen in college, I never cooked Chinese food. I barely even cooked Asian food. I wanted to cook things like make ravioli from scratch because I never really ate ravioli growing up. Or what is this, you know, I made, what is this thing that I made? Prosciutto wrapped veal was like my fancy Valentine's Day dinner for my boyfriend. And I never even had it at a restaurant, but it looked exotic. And what's veal, you know? So... yeah, so it was like trying different things and, you know, saffron. Whoa, what's that, you know? So
what is saffron? All right, well, we're going to take a pause.
Okay.
Because I want to get into your New York, West Coast, East Coast move when we get back.
Yeah.
But there's so much and I don't want to break it up. I feel like that's a good little point right there. So we're going to take a quick musical interlude. We're going to play... this song actually goes out to Jenny. Right here, it's Ooh, Kindness.
Wow, I'm like the guest of honor.
Kindness songs House here on Snacky Tunes. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
That was just House by Kindness coming at you here on Snacky Tunes. So excited. Can't wait to see them at Fixed coming up.
Yeah.
May something. Super excited. So we have Diane Chang here in the studio talking about her life and love of food and also her life and love affair with music, which you said you've always been into.
Yes. I love music.
Go on.
I grew up in a very musical household. My mom plays, she plays two instruments. She plays piano and guitar. And one of the first concerts I ever went to is Simon and Garfunkel with my mom.
Oh, nice.
Reunion. Yeah, and they were
still
very,
a good concert.
It was a great concert. And it was, I was in eighth grade, maybe. And
nice.
My friends were like, what's that? Who cares? What about Backstreet Boys?
And yeah, like, what about Backstreet Boys?
I like them too, but BSB. You know, a little BSB is good. But a little Simon and Garfunkel better on rainy days.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, she loves... And she loves karaoke because, you know, we're Chinese and that's what we do for family holidays.
Really?
Yes, all the time.
Go on.
What's your
what's
your
my
song?
Jam?
What's your song?
Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's in my range. I've tried other songs like Amy Winehouse, not so good. Mariah Carey, terrible. Yeah, so I really like music and, I mean, I think...
It's funny that you say karaoke in the idea of range. Like, I never think of anything more than just getting up there.
Like, fun.
Yeah, let's just belt. Let's just belt it out.
Right. I think I take it a bit seriously, and my friends get a little freaked out. Every birthday in the last few years, I've gone to karaoke after dinner.
What's your place?
Sing Sing's usually okay because it's close for everyone, but there's this one place I just went to recently after dinner, it's you have to walk downstairs. I think it's on a Mott Street, and it's south of Canal. It's a little scary.
I know that place.
Yeah.
It's sort of just like an open room, though.
No, it's not.
Never mind.
You're thinking of... I know what you're
thinking
of.
It's like up on the second floor. Anyway.
Basement. Yeah, they're all like upstairs or downstairs or whatever.
We're talking about two different things.
Yeah.
So you have a love for food and a love for music, which is something that we love. And you've graduated college... And you're looking for your job. Did you know that you wanted to come to New York?
I've always wanted to move to New York. After high school, I got into NYU, but it was really, really expensive. And they basically didn't want to help me out at all. So I didn't come to New York. And I was like, yeah, one day I'm going to move to New York. And but after college, I was interning at Herb Magazine and Fader Magazine back in L.A. And
oh, nice.
I was like, yeah, music. Music magazines, that's definitely the future. And and then, you know, but I love food, and at the time I had a pretty short-lived, not so great food blog, and I was...
What was it called?
I don't even remember. Honestly, I have to look it up.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't remember. It was that short-lived. It was like 5 pictures, and then I couldn't even continue because it wasn't fun. I actually don't love just writing about food alone. I think it's boring to me. And so I found out about this job at Bon Appetit. I went for it. I found out about it on Craigslist, of all places.
Wow.
Amazing.
And then I got a job. So I stayed in food for a bit. And
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
What did you do at Bon Appetit?
I started off as an editorial assistant. And we were in L.A., so kind of far away and removed from the whole Condé Nast experience.
Right.
And at the time, I mean, publishing was still cool and in. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Publishing was still, you know, a viable means for people to make money and really be happy. And not that it isn't now, but it's like blogs weren't necessarily, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blogs were not moneymakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Blogs were just for fun.
But do any personal blogs outside of like the big, like, you know, like an Eater or like Serious Eats, do any like at home
blogs make money
for food?
Oh, ton, I'm sure. I mean, you see ads on personal blogs. I've seen blogs that I've started reading in college eventually evolve into these really, you know, beautiful websites with ads, you know, paid for by different brands and websites, you know. And I'm sure at the time when these blogs were started, they didn't think about monetizing.
No.
But now that's
yeah.
Different.
Well, now it's part of the business.
Yeah.
And you have your own blog, Beats and Jams, right?
Beats and Jams, yeah.
What is that all about?
That's
And by the way, it's a pun.
Yes. By the way, it's
thank you,
beets as in the vegetable.
Yes.
Yeah, and jams as in spreadable slash music. I pair, I'll take a picture of something I'm eating, and I'll pair it with a song. Maybe I'll think about the song while I'm eating it. Maybe I'll think about it later. And it's just a personal thing. Like, I it's for fun. I really didn't intend for it to, you know, it's amusing to me and myself alone. But some of my friends are into it, and some of them have contributed. So, and eventually, I would like for other people to send me their pairings. So I think it's fun to see what other people are eating, but also what they're listening to.
That's awesome.
You're welcome to send me
your... Oh, I will. We will. Can you give us an example? Can you tell us what are your favorite, eating music paired...
That recently?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me think. What did I have just very recently? Why am I blanking out? I wish I had the internet. I'm blanking out right now. If you don't mind pulling it up.
No, I'll pull it up.
Oh, yeah. You know, my friend had a salad pizza at this place in Venice, and she paired it with a song by The Descendants. And I thought it was a great pairing. But it was very situational, because she'd just gone to a Descendants show, and then she had this salad pizza. And that's what she, like, remembers most about that meal. And that was the song that reminded her of that pairing.
Yeah, but
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you were going to say, I'm the one for the song. Like this pizza is, I'm the one pizza.
No, but I mean, you know, you go to a concert, then you have a meal afterwards, and you sort of remember it, or you're just, like, driving around, and you get...
Yeah, it's part of the experience.
Part of the experience. It's great. It's amazing. I'm looking at it right now, and you had a egg sandwich and the Alabama shakes I found.
Yeah. There you go. That was very recently. It was a dirty sandwich. It was so greasy and delicious. And I found you felt very similar. It was gritty. I mean, Alabama shakes, you guys obviously know who they are. They're great. And they're a little bit like, I don't know. Do you like them?
Yeah.
Okay, so... to me, they remind me a little bit of my morning jacket and a little bit of Amy Winehouse and a little bit of that. And it's a little Southern to me. I don't know where their background is. Maybe Alabama bound or from. I don't know.
I don't know where they're from. I'm assuming Alabama.
I'm assuming Alabama. And that sandwich felt similar to me. So, yeah. I mean, I don't really have a rhyme or reason. It's just a feeling. And then I posted.
Yeah.
So it's... Yeah, it's a personal thing, so...
Awesome.
Experience, yeah.
And so recently, you were also written up in New York Magazine as sort of like, I don't know how to say it, one of the voices of food culture and youth,
if you will.
Yeah. And it looks like you had a lot of fun eating and hanging out all over the city.
Yeah, I mean, the process was fun. The research part, I think, for the writer, I was very lucky and happy to be a part of that. I paid for my own meals. I mean, it wasn't like getting free meals all across town, but the fun part was spending time with someone new and chatting with him about food and getting his views on and perspectives on eating. But yes, the article came out, and that was a whole different experience.
We don't have to get into it, but do you want to talk about the experience?
Yeah, I totally don't mind. I've been very vocal online about it. I think when it came out, I didn't anticipate for the article to be this feature. I thought it was just one of those, hey, this is a New Yorker, typical. She's eating. Here's her food.
Right.
And when it came out, I was a little bit shocked, because I think some of the things that that were left out that were important, being, you know, why I love food, being, you know, my background and also my professional experience in food journalism, is a big reason why I am so, you know, obsessed with food writers and things like that. And also, I think something important that was left out was kind of a broader research on just a bigger community of people who eat. I don't think that I am necessarily the only person who enjoys food, and I'm not the best example either. And I think in a way, it's like I do pursue a lot of new restaurants, but I'm also very not... there's still a lot I can learn, and there's still a lot I don't know about new restaurants. And since that article, you know, came out, everyone's like, what should I eat? What's the best place? But I don't really know, because I don't really keep up that much, and I think that was left out, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Diana, I want to thank you so much for coming
on. Thanks.
It's been fantastic.
It's been awesome.
What are all your deets of blogs and Twitter and whatnot?
Sure. Twitter handle, DJ Panko. That was my college radio name.
Awesome.
Beats and Jams, as you know. I also want to give a little shout out to my friend James Casey. He has a awesome book coming out, book magazine called Swallow. If you haven't checked it out, it's just about food and travel. It's so esoteric, but so good. And great food photography, and it's coming out in a month. So
love him. We're gonna try. He's been on the show before.
Yeah, you can follow him on Twitter. Actually, it's Swallow Magazine, just @SwallowMagazine. It's great.
Awesome. Well, Diane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stick around for the pizza wherever it is. I'm so hungry.
I'm
so hungry right now. All right. Well, we're gonna play a little bit of a longer set, two back-to-back songs, and then we're gonna get the band in to play a couple of live songs. You're listening to Snacky Tunes here on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Cool.
I feel so close to you right now, it's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now, I feel so close to you right now.
All right, that was just Walk Alone, the Jacques Renault Yacht remix. Big shout out to Let's Play House guys for a phenomenal party on Saturday night. Tiger and Woods.
Great set.
And opened that up with a pretty underground track, Feels So Cold by Calvin Harris. Gotta watch. Put my money on him. I think he's going to do big things this year.
Yeah.
So we are very, very excited to have... I'm trying to think if this is our first sextet. We might. It's up there. Definitely our first Danish band. Alcoholic Faith Mission, live in studio. Guys, welcome to Snacky Tune.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Why don't we do around the horn to say who you are and who does what?
All right, I'll start. I'm Torben. I sing and play guitar.
My name is Christine, and I sing and I usually play the synthesizer.
I'm Sune. Usually I'm playing the bass. Today I'm playing the glockenspiel.
My name is Anas. Usually I play the keyboards. Today it's an accordion.
My name is Morten. I play the drums.
And I'm Mouse, and I'm playing guitar and horn.
So you guys are in New York this week for a big show at Glasslands this Friday, right? But you guys are touring a little bit? You guys are going on the road?
Not a little bit. We're touring 5 weeks, going all the...
A lot of it on the road.
Yeah.
Is this your first time here in the States, you guys? Or you got...
We have been here... This is our third time as a band.
No.
Fourth time.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Time flies. We played the first time. When was that?
It's 2 years ago. We got here the first time and played. I think we actually just stayed here in New York doing
Webster Hall.
Webster Hall, yeah, doing a couple of shows here in New York, and then we came back for CMJ the same year, 2010, and then last year, 2011, we came to South by. So we've been like primarily in New York, but this time we're doing
the country.
Amazing.
That's great.
And what parts of the country are you looking forward to?
I think pretty much all of them, but we certainly have some I'm really looking forward to play Seattle. I've been to Seattle once for 13 hours, so I really look forward to spending some more time there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see some of those cities that you don't usually go to as,
right,
like a visitor. I look forward to Salt Lake City just because...
It's weird.
I've never been there. That's what I think.
It's a very interesting place.
Yeah.
Do your research and watch SLC Punk for some inside scoop. I've never been to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, many times. Some family that lived outside of there.
Get ready.
Okay.
It's a very strange place.
What should we do? Like, what do you do in...
Drink?
I mean, just kind of... Just soak it in. I guess that's all you can do.
Soak it in at 3.5% alcohol.
Yeah.
So how did you guys form? How did you guys get started?
Actually, Sune and I, we used to live in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah. Well. And we formed a band also in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So, and the band was formed in 2006, and then the rest of the guys kind of jumped on board as we wanted to expand and be more than just a duo.
Now, do you all live in Brooklyn, or are you all back in Denmark?
We're all back in Denmark now.
Okay. What made you want to move back to the band?
Lack of money.
It's a good reason to move back.
Yep.
It's a good back. All right, well, let's get into a song. Let's hear a song. We'll do what's the first song we're going to hear?
We're going to play a song called Escapism, and it's from the album actually recorded in Brooklyn called 421 Wythe Avenue.
Awesome. Well, we have Alcoholic Faith Mission here live on Snacky Tunes.
Thank you. escaping love, floating out to sea. I wonder if you'll ever notice I'm old enough to fall apart. I'm bold enough to fall apart. I'm over here. I'm over here. Look my way. Look my way.
Thank you.
Awesome. So how do you guys all write together? How do you guys, like, you guys, you know, six people to start writing a song is a lot.
It is. So usually what happens is that somebody comes up with an idea and we record it in the studio and we all work around with that idea and kind of, you know, conjure up a song together, that kind of way.
And what about eating together as a band? How do you guys make the decision of where to eat, who's in the mood? Any of you all carnivores, all vegetarians, what are we looking at?
The carnivores.
All of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, as I think you know, Danish cuisine has sort of been put on the map the last 2 years with Noma and things like that. What do you guys normally cook when you're together?
Well, we do all of us cook, but we do that in our respective homes by ourselves. But every once in a while, when we are together, we like to go out and eat.
Oh, yeah. And what's that like? You guys, is it a communal, does everyone share, or... Some people more picky about sharing than others.
We do restaurants, good ones,
when
we go on tour, right?
We actually make sure that, like, when we're on tour, we like to, like, at least one time, maybe two.
Whatever the budget is.
Yeah. Spend money to go on a really good restaurant, and we try to sort of plan it in advance, like, talk about, like, where we want to have this really good dinner and what kind of food it should be, and so we sort of plan it in advance. And
do you have anything planned for this tour?
The budget is pretty tight on this tour, so I think we're gonna go out at least one time.
But
the budget. But
usually,
is tight.
We went to Jean Georges here in.
Oh
really?
Yeah, and
that's a big meal.
It is a big meal. It was a great meal, and but they do that special lunch kind of thing.
Yeah,
that. So yeah.
And last time we did Momofuku.
Yeah,
we did Momofuku.
David
also,
Chan.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a very music friendly.
Yeah.
Fun time. What did you guys have there?
We had the pork.
The pork.
Oh, the bosom.
Yeah.
The pork shoulder and oysters and things.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh. That was really, really good.
And when you guys are at home, what do you guys normally eat? What's your favorite? If I were to go on the road in Denmark, where should I be checking out?
Well, you've been to Noma, yeah?
I have been to Noma.
Yeah.
There are so many.
You've been to Raleigh?
Yeah, Raleigh is really one of the new ones that just got another star, Michelin star.
It's one of the old chefs from Noma.
The sous chef from Noma.
Yeah, everyone who sort of splinters from there.
Yeah, completely.
I saw that Rene Redzepi's doing a pop-up in London for the Olympics.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. And I've had a lot of time, ate a lot of time in Aarhus as well.
Yeah.
It's expensive to eat in.
It is. So you want to really, you know, pick your restaurants wisely.
Yeah. But I mean, but I'm happy with the herring.
The herring is amazing.
But Copenhagen has really exploded as like a food city. There are so many good restaurants there.
I think when you have a restaurant sit at the number one spot a few years in a row, it just becomes a mecca, like a destination for good food.
Yeah, there's a lot of foodies now, and you know, I mean, that has been in Copenhagen for the last. People just travel to go for that one restaurant and then back out again. You know.
Any of your songs inspired by food?
No,
just alcohol. All right, well, let's hear another jam. What are we gonna play?
Running with Insanity.
Yeah.
Awesome.
From the new album.
Live, new guitar.
Yeah.
All right. Nice enough to know you. Really nice to meet you, but I'm saving myself for someone else. I'm saving myself for someone else. Nice enough to know you.
Can you use your flower?
I'm saving myself for someone else. I might be insane, but I leave you with me.
Thank you.
That's great. I love it. Now, one of my favorite stories about you guys is how you got your name.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can say, but why don't you say to us of how you got your name?
Well, actually, Suna and I was in Brooklyn at the time. And we were just traversing the streets of Brooklyn. And do you remember where it was in Brooklyn exactly? Was it in Williamsburg?
Clinton Hill.
Clinton Hill?
Clinton Hill, yeah.
Clinton Hill. Anyway. And Suna and I, we really have a lot of... alcoholics and alcoholism close in our families, so we were kind of debating that, and walking past the Apostolic Faith Mission Church, we just came up with the idea of switching the apostolic out with alcoholic, because alcoholics need booze.
It's I would say alcohol saved me a whole bunch. When I was lost and down, he was the only person I could call.
Yeah,
and was there for me.
He always answered.
It doesn't always stay with me, but for the first. So, the new album is Ask Me This, and you worked with Tom McFall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For those who know, he did R.E.M., Weezer, Stars.
Yeah.
Still love that Stars album.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
That album,
that's amazing.
I think, unfortunately, falls in that category of an album that I may have listened to too much.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But it really was a good album when it came out.
It was really just a finish, and I would start over.
Yeah.
But you guys sort of had the same vibe as Stars, and I could see why... you guys would work with stuff like that. How was the experience recording the album? How's the new album? Are you excited about it?
We love the new album. We're really excited about it, and excited to present it here in the States, because it's been out in Europe for a couple months now. So really looking forward to see how you guys respond over here. But it was really different to work with Tom. He contacted us and just on a whim and said, "I really like your sound. How would you feel about working with me?" And we said, "Yeah, sure, man. That sounds like a good idea. Why don't you come over for a week and we'll see how the chemistry is?" And so he did. And luckily the chemistry was there, and we decided to work on the album. And it was a fun experience because, like I said, we usually work a lot alone and do it on our own.
Is your first time with the producer?
Yeah.
It's different.
It is different. But I found that we were very much in tune, all of us, and we really had kind of the same ideas and... Yeah, it was a great experience. He's a great guy.
You know, the right producer, the right person can really just elevate everything that you do.
Totally.
And it frees you up to focus more on the music.
Yeah,
and
completely.
Less about the like technical bits and pieces of that.
Somewhat, yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
I did say that.
You did say that, I did somewhat agree with you.
All right, well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Where can people find out about you and the tour? Because you're going to want to see them live.
You definitely do want to see us live. And it's alcoholicfaithmission.com, and it has all our social media on there, too.
As well. Fantastic. And you're playing Glasslands this
Friday 27th.
The early show?
I have no idea.
No, I don't know.
No, the late show.
Yeah.
What is the late show? When is that?
Glasslands is now doing, like... Yeah, they do an early show and a late show.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
anyway, check out Glasslands website and
I'll be there.
You'll be there.
Cool.
And if they let me bring my dog, I'll bring my dog as well.
All right. Cool.
Well, I thank everybody, Diane, Yenny, everybody. Big shout out to once again the Flyers for winning the hockey game. Go Rangers tonight.
Who will take the cup?
We'll see. We'll see about that. I want to thank everybody. We'll be back in a couple weeks. All right.
We're taking you out with the from the new album song called We Need Fear.
Awesome. Thank you again. Here we go, live on Snacky Tunes, Alcoholic Faith Mission.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
The wearing signs of mass correction. Support our troops and bring them home. The rich are getting richer, and the ones in power gain more.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.